Are you hungry for more? You know what life has to offer. You sense it is radiating magic, but perhaps you feel like you're just not fully nourished by all there is to embody. Welp, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Here and now. Just what the doctor ordered. Welcome to the conversation, Well and Why, where we feast on fuel for the soul. These topics are designed to ignite that fire and maximize our human potential. Together, we can heal the system. Alone, we can heal our bloodline. Bon appetit! Welcome back to Well and Why, a spiritually nutritious production. I am your host, Allie, and this week's episode is with Tim Rode. He is the founder and creator of a conference called One Life Fully Lived. I've actually attended twice in my time. My mom took me when I was 23 and again at 25. And essentially, she just invited me on this weekend trip because she really wanted me to come and experience something like this. I had no idea what I was in for. Once you start learning these concepts of lifestyle design and the growth mindset, which is what this podcast is absolutely about, Tim Rode emits all of that. Once you realize that life is so malleable, you really can't unlearn the things that you learn and you can't go back. So you become a whole new human being because you realize what it takes. And it just takes time, effort, patience, and the will to succeed and thrive and bloom and blossom like the seasons. Little bit of this, little bit of that, little bit of vitamins and minerals and knowledge and wisdom and boom, and some mistakes and failures. But I'm excited to share all this info with you. Tim is a power to reckon with. A power to not reckon with? I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But I'm really excited to share this episode with you, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed recording it and editing it. Enjoy. Thanks for coming on here, Tim. This is Well and Why, and I want to start with asking you your biggest takeaway in 2018.
Ooh, good. Wow. My biggest takeaway in 2018. It's funny, but when you're young, you think you know it all. And as I approach 60, more and more I realize how little I know and how vast, there is of different things to learn about so much. And you just realize just how small in the whole thing you are, and why that becomes more important to figure out your own personal why and to make the best you can do with and be the best you can.
Amazing. Well, that leads right into my next question, which is, what is your why? And would you say that's the same factor that drives your self-motivation?
Well, it's changed a lot over time. I believe in multiple incarnations. And it's almost like it's worked out into almost like quarters of a game, if you think about it. Yeah. So you look at your first 25 years, you're just figuring stuff out and you're just, blossoming into that true self you can be. And a lot of people, especially guys, don't even start to put it together until they're 25. And, they say your frontal lobe's still forming and stuff like that. And that's why I tell parents who are all freaked out about their kids when they're, 16 to 22, my kid hasn't figured out what they're going to do. Oh, cut it out. Where were you then? Oh, yeah. So the first 25 years is just starting to dial it in, of figuring out who in the heck you are. And then the next 25 should be when you're really putting it together and making that, making progress towards your own fulfillment. And there's something in One Life Fully Lived we call the fulfillment triangle. It's where does your passion meet your talents, where there's opportunities in the marketplace. And think passion's on the bottom, talents is on the bottom, and opportunity in the marketplace is on the top. And when you find, you know, your why, when you find what you're doing and you get to wake up every single day and go, and they pay me to do this, then you're in that fulfillment triangle. So that's what you, you know, 25 to 50 is figuring that out. And maybe if you're lucky, you find that at 16, you know, and you're rock and rolling already. Many, most don't. And some find themselves, you know, 39, starting over, and maybe you had a failed relationship. Maybe, you know, you've had some setbacks. Maybe it was a major health setback and you had to overcome some stuff. But whatever it is, you know, you just wake up every day and keep going. So anyway, so 25 to 50 is dialing it in. To me, 50 to 75 is really going deeper, and you should be on the other side because you should have taken really good care of your finances and your health. Here I am, 59 years old, and I get to, for the last, you know, since I was 40, get to choose every day what I want to do. I'm very, very fortunate that way. And I'm healthy enough to be able to do amazing, you know, physical things at my age. So I felt really blessed. I have somebody really close to me in my family who's 2 years older than me and didn't make wise choices. And we're kind of stewards of their finances, and they're on oxygen, and they're just hanging on, and they're, yeah, it just breaks my heart. So, you know, I say when you're young and healthy, be very mindful of the health and wealth choices you make, because when you're gray, unless you color it, or lose it, you're going to hug yourself or curse yourself for the health and wealth choices you make when you're young. And then to me, I'm not there yet, but I would imagine 75 to 100 is just a lot more chill, reflective, you know, still serving, you know, and still try and find ways to give back and be relevant. But you know, it's interesting. I want to say one other thing. In America, everything is youth and beauty, and wisdom and age isn't revered like in other countries. And it's funny, as you age and have that go away, you realize that, you know. And it is what it is, you know. So listen to your elders, young Allie.
Thank you, wise Tim. okay, so. Wait, what did you say your why was?
I don't know that I did. that's so funny. I didn't. I said it's changed, and then I went on this long diatribe.
I loved it.
So from 25 to 40, it was to become financially free. You know, I was just laser focused on wealth building, and I never knew why. You know, that developed into, I wish I could show you what I'm looking at right now. I'm living my why. It was to wake up every morning and watch this inspiring view and to you know, be close to my family and to be basically financially free so I wouldn't have to spend much time on that, and then to spend all that time that most people spend, quote, working, giving back and running our charity and running like GoBundance and stuff. And I had a dream of this when I was living in the city, well, the valley. I'm working really hard and just making my way. And that why was so compelling that it got me up every day and made me, you know how you have this committee in your head, I don't want to prospect, I don't want to do the mundane things that either make a great life or, you know, if you choose not to, are the habits that keep you from the things you want. And I had this little, you know, every day, I don't want to do this. Shut up, you're doing it. The shut up, you're doing it usually won. So that was my why then. Now my why is one, you know, I would say 80% centered around the amazing work we're doing with One Life and GoBundance and stuff like that. So
amazing. So tell us about One Life Fully Lived, because that is how I know you. My mom took me. We decided it was in 2015 was when I had first gone. My mom was like, come with me to this conference. And I was like, okay, if that makes you happy. And I went, and she just still to this day will never forget that my eyes were like, I couldn't close them. They weren't blinking. And I was like, this is, she knew at that moment, this was a game changer for me and my future. And One Life Fully Lived was a huge turning point for me. And that's, and you've created this. So I want to hear more about it.
Well, you know, I know your podcast is all about wellness and all about creating a purposeful life to where wellness is naturally a part of it, is kind of what I heard when we were talking. Mm-hmm. So I think One Life fits beautifully into that. We're not into telling you what your One Life Fully Lived is. That's each individual's own path to figure that out. What we want to do is expose you to a community of fellow seekers who also want more for their life and are willing to go inside and do the hard work of figuring it out. You know, it's really tough to find that today, because there's a lot of anger and people pointing fingers and looking at external things that are keeping them from getting what they want in life. And we feel that everything you want is at your fingertips, if and only if you're willing to do these things. One, figure out what's my plan for me? What's my vision for a great future? What's my why? What's my dream? Where am I going with all this? That's number one. Number two is relationships. Who's going to be there with me? What's my relationship with myself? Who's my tribe? Who's on my board of directors? Who's holding me accountable? Who am I holding accountable? So who's on my team? Relationships. Three, finances. How will I fund this? How will I know, you know, the One Life basics, offense, what's coming in, defense, what's going out, and see what's left to invest? That's kind of the backbone of everything we teach. And the last thing is wellness. How can I be healthy in my mind, body, and spirit to pull off this magnificent life? So those are our basic four teachings: vision planning, relationships, finances, and wellness. And everything we do at our conferences are all set around this. And let me say, we're having a conference in October 12th and 13th in Long Beach, California. It's going to be amazing. It should be like $1,200. and our general admission is $99. Wow. And our upgraded ticket is $299, which includes our benefit conference, concert, sitting up in the front rows, and having lunch with some of the presenters is only $299. So wow. It's just a great bargain. So
that's a steal for the value that you get coming to those events.
Right. There's going to be like 60 presenters. We're going to have it go from like 8 in the morning till 8 at night on Saturday, with just tons of breakout sessions on like beginning finances, advanced finances, beginning relationships, advanced relationships, everything, just wherever you are. We have you know, something for you right where you are. And one other thing with it, we're very family friendly. For the 4 to 14-year-old, we have another conference going on right at the same time, right there, for One Life Next Gen. So it's just a really, really cool thing.
Amazing. So when you say wherever you are, how does somebody know? Like, how do you know that? Because I think a lot of the times we as people, we probably think we're either like one of two things. We think we're way behind where we actually are, or we think we're way ahead of where we actually are. So how do you find awareness in just knowing which class or which seminar or speaker you want to attend? Sure.
Well, we have a journal that we're just producing that has audits that kind of can have you do an audit of where you are in each of those areas. And you kind of see, where am I weak and where am I strong? And if you think about it, Allie, all of us are working on, you know, let's say career-wise. How can I better my career where I am? Or maybe it's how can I manage my finances a little better? You know, maybe somebody finds them in that space. Let's say relationships. We're really heavy on, helping people create beautiful, lasting relationships, and that means doing the work on yourself. Matter of being, what's most important to me right now, and that's, if you think about it, that's different for everybody because we're all in different places on our path, and that's why we like to be. You really can't pigeonhole us and say, oh, they're all about. No, we're not. we're about a lot of different things. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, I know we already kind of went past this, but what is a day in the life of Tim Rode and how did you get there? Like a little bit of your story.
Yeah. Let me start there. I live in the town where I grew up and I was probably, I don't think they ever vote in real life for least likely to succeed, but I, if they did, I would have won it. My parents split up when I was a teenager. And one of the reasons I started One Life Fully Lived is, because I was such a lost soul, you know, in my teen years and was really, I had a lot of potential, but was just way off on the wrong track. And you know, when you're a kid and you have a angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, it was the 70s and I was in the San Francisco Bay Area. I mean, come on, that devil was pretty big and looming large. And so, I kind of went off track and consequently I barely graduated high school. I don't think I would have if it wasn't for playing high school baseball. I saw no reason to learn the periodic tables and algebra and all this crap that was like, I can't figure it out because my brain, it just can't wrap around crap that doesn't relate. So it's like, don't learn any of this. It's not going to serve you. Don't listen to them. Just tune them out, fall asleep in class, whatever you have to do. Just know this is nothing for you. And then, and so consequently, I'm 25 years old. I'm a part-time grocery clerk, not getting enough hours. And I'm literally going door to door selling painting addresses on people's curbs. This guy had the stencils. He's painting, I'm selling, because I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old who I wasn't getting enough money to buy diapers and formula. So this was called survival. So, that was kind of like not the low, but the hardest I worked for the least amount of reward, if that makes sense. The most where I was just spinning my wheels, not figuring it out. And then my mom was in real estate, and I always loved real estate, always loved Monopoly, and my mindset was just loved it. But I think I was too scared because I had the kids. It was safe. I was getting benefits. So I got my real estate license. I sold 3 homes my first weekend, and that allowed me to, I held an open house and I sold it. And those people needed to list their home, so I put their house for sale. I took some buyers out and showed them property, and they bought a house. And Sunday night, I'm doing the math, and I made as much that weekend as I'd made like in the last 8 months in the grocery business. So I got in I got into real estate, and the thing I did different from most is while my income climbed from, I was making $30,000 as a clerk, and then I made, $69,000 and then $120,000 and $170,000 and $190,000 and $270,000 and $400,000. I think that was the most I ever made. My expenses went from like 15 to 20 to 25 to 30 to 40. And pretty soon I'm making $400,000 and I'm only spending $50,000. And I was extreme. Remember how I said I paid no attention to periodic tables and endoplasmic reticulums, and which are slender tubules forming channels that connect the cell membrane to the nuclear membrane. And why I remember that from 8th grade, I have no idea, but I do.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it's one of the few things. And I remember some things from Spanish class too. But I was fascinated with investing, and I learned all I could about how to sell more real estate, how to give great customer service, how to market, how to care, how to come through, how to sell, how to be motivated, all these things that all of a sudden became really important. And I was in masterminds and I'm reading books and just getting all my just in university of how to run your life and how to earn more and invest wisely. And I took it all and really aggressively invested from the start. They talk about your risk tolerance. Like some people have a high risk tolerance, some people have a low risk tolerance. Mine was off the charts. I'd go write an offer for a property to have to make $20,000 extra, 4 months later with no money and go, all right, let's see what you got, and make 16 of it and put $4,000 on a credit card and then put a tenant in there, and then they needed a new roof, and I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and macaroni and cheese and barely got by and sold and worked hard and came through and, managed every dime, just hustled my butt off to get everything we had. And Tina was a great partner in all of this, really watching the money and holding on for dear life while her crazy maniacal husband never had any savings, never had any security, just always flying by the seat of our pants, mm-hmm. Onto the next thing. And that's what it was like from like 25 to 40 when I looked up and we were basically financially free.
Wow.
Robert Kiyosaki has a game called Cash Flow, where the object is to get out of the rat race onto the fast track. And we played that game while we did this and kind of used that as a model for what we were doing. And just like in the game, you track as your passive income climbs and your expenses stay the same. The object of the game is to have your passive income or income from investing that you're not working for. It's just coming in monthly without your working. If you have that become more than what it costs you to live, then theoretically, because there's always repairs and crap that comes up, but theoretically you don't have to work anymore. So that was the game we were playing. And that was the incarnation. I looked up at 40 and go, all right, I'm done. I don't want to sell real estate anymore. So I was a ski bum for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. So then all of a sudden you decided you didn't want to be a ski bum anymore and you wanted to start a conference?
Yeah. What I found is you can't have cake for breakfast every day. Although it's tempting, but just imagine that where you have a lot of talent and you have a lot of heart and you see a world that needs help. And I have so many friends like David Osborne and Pat Hyben and Christopher Lockhead and Ellen Smith and people that know how to earn and how to invest and how to live rich, full lives that could help those that don't. And it was kind of like, well, what if you did something where you brought in a lot of your friends and showed those that never get exposed to this? So a Deb sprung from Connecticut, I believe.
Jersey,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. From,
yeah, we'll bring her daughter, Allie, and I'll never forget just the wild eye. This is great. And to see, a young person such as yourself get exposed to this and come alive inside with a want for more and seeing people, who are truly, Timothy Leary said, tuned in and turned on to who they are and what can be. And there's no better thing, you know, and the opposite is what is my why now, Allie, is when I see, you know, the despair and the people who think this is all there is and my life's just going to suck and there's nothing I can do about it. And we're here to say bullshit. This just isn't so. It doesn't have to be that way. And here's a huge piece of it. We're not, here's a fish, you know, this is here, take this. Just eat this and everything will be okay. No, we're here to say, here's some instructions. Here's where you find the fish. Here's where you cook the fish. Here's some recipes that have worked for others. But you got to go find your own freaking fish and cook it yourself, because there's no better gift than the gift of hitting a pillow at night, knowing you worked your butt off and you did everything you can do yourself, you know, and you're doing this. That's the gift, you know, of I want to say you know, just of struggling and making a better life. And the best example I can use is that from the kind of trying to think of what goes into the butterfly in, you know, the way a, what are those things?
The caterpillar.
Thank you. My wife said a caterpillar.
Yeah.
I could see it. I just couldn't. Yeah. I was going, larvae? No. But just think about that. Just think of what the caterpillar goes through. And I think, you know, if you try to help a caterpillar, you know, just help it along the way, it won't turn into the butterfly, you know?
So. Right. It ruins the natural process.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I loved all of your analogies. That was really cool with the fish and the caterpillar. That makes so much sense. Who or what has been your biggest source of inspiration?
Who or what? Well, it depends on you know, what that's for. Mm-hmm. I think Tina's helped me immensely. And I'd say Tina and a lady named Janai Lane. I don't know if you know Janai. She's part of our community. She teaches a course called Spirit Led Instead.
And she's been like,
yeah, I've been her. She's been my coach for the last 4 years. She's coached Mike McCarthy and Lindsay for like 10 years now. And she's amazing, Allie. She's, you know, back when I sold real estate, I was all head. My nicknames were the Hurricane, the Bull in the China Shop. And I'd crank the song Welcome to the Jungle at 7 a.m. and just like, let me at him, you know. And I always cared. I always wanted to come through. It wasn't like I was a shyster ripping people off. But I wasn't as heart-centered as Janai and some others have helped me become. And I think that's a really good balance, especially in a male, you know, a strong male. And there's females that have a strong male energy, mm-hmm, that need to balance it, you know. And there's females that need more of a male energy. You know what I mean? I think that's it's a good thing to draw on at different times. And I know for me, that's the wellness, the quiet, the tapping into the universe's vibration at 77 rather than going, and this is really hard for me, 110 or 30. Throttle on, throttle off, you know, and just going at this slower pace that is easier as I've matured, but not easy anyway for a headstrong person.
Right. Interesting. I love that because I feel like a lot of times self-development is kind of teaching you that your 20s are your most, like where your brain can develop the most. But mm-hmm, as you're saying, you were at an older age when you met this woman who taught you to lead with your spirit and your heart rather than your head so much.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to learn at every age. And Tina and I read a book. What was the name of that book, Tina, about in your 20s?
I think I read that too.
It's about how important it is to pay attention and get it together in your 20s. Because you're gaining momentum towards where you're going, and today's generation is, the parents are more apt to say, "Ah, take your time, don't worry about it." And it's not like you should be freaking or tripping, but it's a time to really dial it in and make sure you're making momentum towards, what's next.
Yes.
It's called the defining decade.
Yes, I listened to that on audio. It's a
Yeah,
good
so do
one.
we. Yeah, really good one. There were some great things in there. You know what I really liked in there was that you're not going to learn from your family and close friends. Get around strangers. That's where the big growth happens. That was such a what you, what a wonderful point. That One Life's all about that. It's just chucking you out of your comfort zone into a table conversation with two multimillionaires and somebody and Janai Lane,
Right.
talk about or that same conversation in a hallway or in a room at 2 a.m. because no one's sleeping. Yeah, that's just amazing. So, hey, I want to say one other thing though on that is in some ways, I feel my mind is as ripe as it's ever been. And I'm really I get a lot of time in nature. I get a lot of time to really think. And being a part of an amazing team for One Life Fully Lived and being a part of an amazing team for GoBundance, I really look at how do some, musicians and comedy troupes and stuff put out hit after hit for decades, and some are one-hit wonders. And how can, like I look at myself in GoBundance as an example, I'm the bass player. I'm not the lead guitarist, lead singer. That's David Osborne. He's a rock star. I'm just back there playing the bass and playing my little tune and really looking at the organization for, where are we on fire? How can we keep that up? Hey, we might be missing. Where are we? Are we missing something here legally? How are we giving the best customer service to everybody we can? And just looking at our operations and just being back there playing the bass and, watching everything and making sure that we're putting out after hit and we're growing. Same thing with One Life, that we're on point. We're having a blast, but we're on point and what we're doing has true meaning. So
Can you quickly give a little brief explanation of what GoBundance is?
sure. One Life Fully Lived is helping people, dream, plan, and live their best life. We're helping people figure out life's basics. I talked about them before. Vision planning, relationships, finances, and wellness. Those are the things you should have been taught in school instead of the freaking endoplasmic reticulums and the periodic tables. Are you kidding me? So you should have been given these basics. They're life's marching orders. That's why our roadmap journal is what you need. So that's just the basic knowledge. Then GoBundance is all of this at a mastery level. We're healthy, wealthy, generous men who choose to lead epic lives. However, we've just opened it up for women also. After 5 years, GoBundance has really grown. It's almost like doubled every year. And now we've just opened up a women's tribe that's kind of grow from here too. And we also have something called Fambundance, which is for families. And there's the wives of the GoBundance guys go and do trips. So it's just an amazing adventure travel mastermind, high level accountability. One thing that's trickled down from GoBundance to One Life is we're very authentic we're very vulnerable, and we're what's the word? We're very accountable. When we say we're going to do stuff, we do it, and we have our own baseball cards, like Inco Abundance, and everybody, you know, your own, what's your net worth? What's your, we call it horizontal income instead of passive income. What's it cost you to live? What's left over to invest? How much of that did you invest? How much of that did you give to charity? What's the best five things that have happened to you so far in your life? What's the best five things that are going to happen this year? Where are you, you know, just a lot of, we have something called the Life Happiness Index. It's like a matrix of 18 different things you rate yourself on quarterly. So you really, are taking an in-depth look at, you know, exactly who are you and where do you fit in and how can you best be part of, with GoBundance, of this amazing pack, if you will, of people living at a high level, helping each other take things even higher. And the most beautiful part of it is the generosity of GoBundance reaching down and helping One Life really change lives through our One Life Dare to Dream program, which goes into the inner cities and helps high school 11th graders in like Philly, and we're going to be doing it in South LA, and we've done it a lot in Sacramento. We've gone into juvenile detention centers to help those that never get this message, you know, figure out how they can best live their life also.
That's amazing and so incredible. Thank you for doing that, because we need it. And they need it, and it's just, that's going to be so beneficial.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're working with a lot of like civil rights leaders and people that are working in the inner cities. And one thing we're all realizing is this, the best social justice is opportunity, and learning how to fend for yourself and how to, you know, make a real life that's worthy of living. And we're proud of the work we're doing, and we think we're going to help a lot of people. And we're just getting rolling, Allie, because we're going to make hit after hit.
I am thrilled for you, because that's so exciting. And I do think education is the basis of all of it. We, so many of us grew up learning these things that you're, you know, giving the thumbs down about, because nobody cares. You know, unless you're passionate about that, why should we be learning it? If that's not going to really do too much for us, like, why aren't we learning the things that we need to know? And if someone came into my school telling me, you could do anything you want, or you don't have to pick one thing right now, life is going to change, you're on a path, it's ever changing, ever morphing, and all these things that you teach that they just don't teach you at a young age, that would be so beneficial to know at 10 years old, when people are like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And how limiting is that? It's just like, I have to pick one forever?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, to us, it's that's why the journal is so important, is we're going in with the Dare to Dream, just kind of whetting their appetite and facilitating an amazing experience where we help them figure out, you know, what are my strengths? And if I knew I couldn't fail, where will I be 3, 5, 10 years from now? And what's my vehicle? And what do I think I want to do? And so many don't know, and that's okay. But you know, and just start to think about it. And then with the roadmap journal, it just takes all of that deeper into figuring out those questions of, you know, what's my vision? Who's alongside of me? How am I going to fund it? And how am I going to be healthy in my mind, body, and spirit to pull this off? So it just gets them dialed into the things that really matter. And you know what we're talking about here? It's an entrepreneurial mindset. There's a book called The E-Myth. And in The E-Myth, it's about how to run your business like a business. One Life's about teaching you how to run your life like a business. And it's just teaching. Yeah, it's helping you run the business of your life and just figuring out all the back office stuff that, if you pay attention to it, you know, go back to the person I said that's close to me, that's 61, that didn't make the right health and you know, financial choices along the way, and they're just hanging on in what should be their golden years versus, you know, I'm just coming into 60 and you know, I told you off air, I freaking climbed a mountain in my backyard a couple times today. It's all about giving back, family, and getting the goods in the woods. And fortunately, I'm in a place where I can spend less than 5% of my mental time and energy on finances. Think about that. All right, it's just on automatic pilot. And Tina's up there going, yeah, right, I'm doing half my time's on it. And yeah, I've got, you know, we got a lot of different things going on, and she's got, this is the time of year she's doing all that financial piece. But, you know, it's on automatic pilot, so we don't have to worry about that. And think of, if you can set that up in your earlier years to where you get to do whatever you want, what would you do? I choose to live in the boonies and climb up hills and ski them. You know, that's my idea of one life fully lived. We met a guy at a concert once. He said his idea, he wanted to live in a tree, you know, whatever. Yeah. If you can, yeah, if that's... Who's to say what your one life fully lived is, you know?
Right. To each his own.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Awesome. So, okay. Did you have any event creating, planning, and coordinating experience before starting this journey?
None. And a lot of what we did in the early years was like chalkboard stuff to me, because it was so out of my comfort zone. And it was, you know, I had to design a website. All I knew is I wanted to teach people, you know, how to dream it, plan it, live it, whatever. And I keep saying the layout of what that's come into. But I just knew that was the outline for it. And, you know, maybe we should do conferences. And we did our first one in my little hometown of 2,000 people. And Christopher Lockhead was there. And he's, you know, he just blew everybody away. And we did some breakouts, and we just saw, wow, this is something special. So it's just going slowly, organically every year. And then about 2.5 years ago, we said, you know, what if we took this teachings into the inner cities? And we created One Life Dare to Dream. And now we're creating the roadmap journal to go deeper. And now we're creating, we've gone in and we've One Life corporations, like people that sponsor our Dare to Dream. We go in and we teach their employees how to do all of this. And imagine, for a company, what's your biggest problem? It's employee retention. And you're showing your employees you truly care about their fulfillment, you know? So anyway, we're always, you know, growing it and creating more. And I think one of my team's biggest challenges is holding on to my ankles and making sure we don't get ahead of ourselves, because I have a really, really fertile mind, and it's hard for a team to implement, you know, and that can be a problem. So
that's so fantastic, because that's exactly, I think, what companies need. And in the beginning of my, like, oh, I love health and wellness, I should get into that, I was thinking corporate wellness, because I think, I mean, you want to do well as a company. You obviously, you need to take care of your employees, like, give them incentives to be happier and healthier and stick around to do better and be more efficient and productive. And in turn, you will be more profitable. So I love that you're going in and doing that, because it's so necessary. And then I assume that gives the, correct me if I'm wrong, but that gives the company that you're going in, they get some kind of like tax break for donating to a nonprofit?
Sure. They get a write-off. And so let's go over this. It was a company called Gutter Glove in Sacramento, California. We went in and we, quote, One Life, their 58 employees, and they gave us a donation to our Dare to Dream, and they also volunteered at the event. So a few of their employees got to see what we're doing and the good feeling of giving back. And so, and their CEO also volunteered there. And there's a book called The Dream Manager that's all about this, helping employers care enough about their employees to where they have high retention. And so this company is now having somebody go in there teaching them how to buy your first house, how to balance your checkbook, how to eat right and exercise. You know, just all these basic things that just show their employees they really do care. And I just think that's amazing. So
definitely. Wow. So where did you learn everything you needed to know to put together these curated seminars?
Just trial and error, and just brought on people as you know, whoever's next, that it just seemed like the right people have shown up. We've got an incredible team now. We have Brian Roach, who's been with us since the beginning, 2011. I don't know if you remember him. He was back in Philly. He's been with us all along, and he's our program director for our Dare to Dream. He's helping us along with Brother James and John Berghoff, who teaches LEAF. We're getting our One Life facilitators LEAF certified, so they know how to facilitate these events. So we're not just going in there and doing rah rah, your life's going to be great, and you know, we're helping facilitate an experience for them to where they learn a concept, they write it down, they share with a few others, and then there's group shares. And like, we just did one of these in a small town called Los Banos, and there was a kid there who was autistic who hadn't got up in front of his class and spoke all year. He got up in front of the entire assembly and basically bared his soul. And at the next one, you know, that really cool kid that if he gets up, everybody's like, oh my gosh, we're bought in. He got up and basically bared his soul. He was like the, you know, big stud athlete dude. So we're really able to draw these kids in and get them participating and actively talking about what their hopes, their dreams, and how they're going to make it happen. And then so these kids see, you know, kids in their school that say, hey, I already own a business and this is what I'm going to do. You know, just showing examples of what they're doing at a young age. So really cool.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Come a day early to Long Beach.
Yeah, you're... That's
we're doing. We're going into schools the Thursday before Long Beach and the Friday before Long Beach, and then that Friday night we're having a benefit concert. So if you could come in Thursday, you could come with us on Friday and just check it out.
Ooh,
love for you to see it.
I would love that. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, so now I'm going to gear towards wellness a little bit. And my question for you is if you have a wellness routine, and if you do, what is it?
It is put things that are scary months out there. You know, in May, I'm taking a group to hike 14,000-foot Mount Shasta and ski down it with our skis on our back. So that's, here we are, February. And I'm training for that. That is in the back of my mind every day that thing's coming. And I call Mount Shasta the beast. And I climbed it and skied it with my buddy Andrew Cushman last year. And, you know, it's like running two marathons in a day to hike up it for 2 days. So, yeah, because you're out there for 8 hours with a 70-pound pack while you get to the camp, and then you get up in the middle of the night with a headlamp and boot crampons, your skis on your pack, and go off in the middle of the night, get the summit, you get there at noon, and then you get a 7,000-foot ski. So it's all well worth it, but it's a lot of work, and you know, I'm 59 years old, and if I don't eat right and exercise for the next 3 months, and as I get close to it, go out and have some 8-hour days out climbing mountains and skiing them, just for super training, and stretch every day, and do some push-ups. I'm not really into strength training. That's probably my weakest of the, you know, they say you want to be aerobically fit, stretch, yoga, and then strength training, especially as you age. I'm very aerobically fit. I stretch a lot, but the upper body, you know, just lifting and stuff doesn't really do much for me. I never go to a gym. I just play. And I've set my whole life up. I have a disc golf course in my backyard when there's not snow there. I walk around my mountains for 9 to 36 holes pretty much every day I'm home, and it's a spiritual walk. I do meetings, and then I get out and, you know, every day I love the line, get the goods in the woods. And then I take my old man nap pretty much every day. And I know, you know, I rest a lot to make sure that I have the energy I need when I need it. When I go to a GoBundance event or I go to a One Life event and I'm up half the night hanging out with youngsters like yourself, just yakking and talking about life dreams and, you know, just having amazing conversations that you don't want to end. Well, the week before, I'll probably take a couple extra naps, and the week after, I'll probably, you know, just rest and recoup. So I'm not hard and fast. I eat too much dark chocolate, you know, eat too many chips with my Mexican food, but I think I eat right, I would say in the 80-90%, you know?
Awesome. That's the perfect segue to my next question, which was, what do you think is the secret trick to building and maintaining enough energy to be productive and do all the things that you do and have done?
Well, first of all, I'm a true believer in Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning. And there's night people and morning people. I happen to be a morning person, and I love to get up really early every morning. I was this morning trying to sleep in until 5:30. I was joking with my wife, like at 5:11, my mind starts saying, get up, come on. Go play. You got stuff to do. There's stuff out there. Come on, girl. I'll make you a cup of coffee. You know, just like a thorn in my side. And this is every morning. I never sleep in. So, I think you get extra time to be more productive. So whether your quiet time is in the morning or maybe it's late at night, especially for you young people with families and stuff, you know. And then the best thing you can do is be productive during that time. I'm not as productive as I could be. I'll be honest. I waste a lot of time. And I feel like I deserve that, you know. I've worked hard and I've done a lot of right things, and I spoil myself quite a bit. So
I love that.
Yes.
Spoil yourself with downtime and rest. We all need to do that more.
Yeah.
All right. So what is it you do that helps you through current challenges that you didn't have in your toolbox 5 years ago?
That's the just the quiet time, you know, walking in the woods. And I probably had that. I've had that for some time, but probably just a better conversations with myself, thanks to the heart centered over head centered, is something I didn't have in my toolbox that I think I do now, and just more of a calm. The Janai's helped me with two kind of like sayings. One is, I'm the wise, calm leader. That's kind of a mantra that helps me. You know, back in the day it was, I sell a shitload of real estate. and now it's just a lot more chill and a lot more, I want us to be on point, but have a lot of fun doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, and then this other thing she taught me that is our mantra for what I see One Life Fully Lived is my small team, we're the door, not the doer. We're the door, not the doer. And let's go back. There's a lot of things to that. Remember, we don't give a man a fish. We teach them how to fish. We're the door so they can do. There's a lot of people who want to serve. We're the door. We're the connection to help them serve or to help volunteer or to help sponsor in their city what we're doing. So that's how we're going to grow. We couldn't do everything. Of course we can't. And this is really good, too, for you and your listeners to hear is we want to be true to who we are, One Life Fully Lived. And that's me getting the goods in the woods. That's me getting the time to rest enough, you know, and we don't want to be phony and telling everybody you should live this lifestyle. And then we're on the hamster wheel just grinding and being fake, you know. So it's very so back to we're the door, not the doer, to where we can put systems and programs in place to where we have one that we're creating called One Life Easy to Serve, to help people serve, to bring this program to their town. And yes, we want to bring it to New York someday. So
awesome. Actually, I just saw this nonprofit that might work well with you. It's called Youth Inc. Have you heard of it?
Wow. Heard of them. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just heard about it today, and I just realized during this conversation that you guys should connect maybe.
Yeah. And that's who we are and what we want to be is we can't help you if you're, you know, Maslow had these six hierarchies of needs. And if you don't have your basic needs fed, if you're hungry or you have just a tooth that's freaking killing you or a drug habit, we can't One Life you. You know what I mean? You're not in a place where you're ready to grow and blossom. But get that tooth fixed. Heal that habit. Become alive and want more. And that's right when you plug into us. And we can just that's when you need to learn those basics and just go on that journey within to figure this stuff out. And that's why One Life was created. Was for that awakening, that person who quits drinking and or leaves that abusive spouse who's held them down and they say, you know what? No more. Now it's my time. And hopefully somebody says, all right, you need a little One Life. And
yes. So. I love that. Okay. So do you have any suggestions or tips for someone who knows they're here on earth for a reason, meant for more than they're currently offering the world, but they don't really know where to start or what to change?
Yes. Come to our conference in Long Beach, go to onelifefullylived.org and just sign up. And, you know, the rest will work itself out. But if for some reason you choose not to or can't do that, you know, the answer may be very, very close to you. Remember when I was a grocery clerk and I was fumbling and I had to paint addresses on curb? And it's kind of like think of a key trying to put it in the lock. And I hadn't found what fit. And then I had that weekend, I sold real estate. And it was like, I found it. Yeah, baby, it's on. Where's that Welcome to the Jungle song? I'm going to crank that every day for 15 years and make a shit ton of money. You know, that's the key went in the lock and it was on. And sometimes it's not that pronounced for people, but here's some things you might do. Okay. You might ask people you love, what do you see in me? What might I be fulfilling? And I want you to be honest with me. What do I need to do to maybe make a few tweaks in my personality or my habits that'll really change me? And ask you know, maybe it's a parent, an uncle, a long lost friend, somebody successful, you know, and success is relevant. in what you're trying to do. Maybe it's in the wellness area. Maybe it's in the career area. Maybe it's in the relationship area. But do a really tough audit on yourself, and just think of, what am I missing? What things could I tweak? Maybe I don't get up early. Maybe I just sit there from, you know, 5 a.m. till 7:30, and that voice is telling me to get up, and I keep hitting the snooze. Maybe I should get up and do a miracle morning, and, you know, just try to do things a little different and see what happens. So
that's great advice. I like that a lot, to do a self audit. Okay, if you were to give one piece of parenting advice to someone like myself who isn't there yet, what would you say really sets a child up for success?
It's to just love them no matter what. And especially, you know, you're going to when they're young and cute and stuff, but in those teen years, when like I get some friends that call me for advice, and, you know, my daughter started smoking pot. My daughter, I want her to go to college, and she's being entrepreneurial. Send her to my conference. She's perfect. This was a buddy, literally. And he's coming with her to our conference this year. Mark Schweiger. Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, there's times, especially in that 14 to 22, where they may not be, you know, right where you want them to be, and just let it go and just know you've done your best. And between 0 and 14, just encourage them and love them, and just hug them a lot, and just let them know that they're beautiful, and that they are on the right track, you know, because they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's every parent's dream is, and I have this, all three of my kids are out in the world healthy, happy, and productive. You know, a kid's worst nightmare is to lose them to opioids or an accident or something like that. And, you know, so that's why you want to keep that relationship with them and keep that that love. So.
Wow, that's wonderful. And congrats. That's so nice. 3 out of 3. Sounds like you just won the child lottery.
Yeah, and it's really cool because they all live really close. They're all within an hour. No grandkids yet. That's when I'll win the lottery. Get busy, kids.
Oh, I hope they hear that. That's amazing.
Spoken like a true parent.
I love it. So what are 3 things on Tim Rhodes' bucket list that you still have yet to accomplish, and why?
You know, it's funny. I don't have much on the I want to go see and do, because I feel so blessed that I've got to see and do so much through GoBundance and stuff like that. So one is be a grandpa. There's no question. 2 is have an amazing effect on our culture. Our overreaching agenda is simple. Hashtag it's cool to care. And we want to help our culture, you know, get tuned in, turned on, and learn that it's cool to care about your life. And I want to have that kind of effect and walk through an airport 10 years from now and no one knows who I am, you know. And I'm not writing any books by Tim Rhodes. Everything we're doing with One Life is One Life. GoBundance, I'm just part of that team. And I'm blessed to have created an amazing life where getting recognition or gaining significance is just not part of the picture. So I'm blessed in that thing, and I know we're well on our way, and, you know, that's something that's already up and running. And then the last thing is, and you might put this in if you have a show notes for your listeners, I want to be in the portrait. And the portrait is, I did a video about this for like 5 years ago for GoBundance, and it's, you know that picture, Allie, where the feeble old couple's in the middle of it, and they're surrounded by their kids and their kids and their kids.
Aww.
And we're going to be 90 years old, and we're going to be in that picture. And to be in that picture, I got to do a lot of things right. I got to have Tina still love me, have my kids still love me, take care of myself, going back to your wellness, talk about a big, long purpose why. And I want it to be on like some island or something where, you know, we threw down some serious coin and we're all just in some spectacular place, all, you know, celebrating, turning 90 and being in this portrait. So that's, yeah, that's pretty much sums it up.
That is the dream. That sounds perfect. I think I'm going to take on that.
I like it.
And before I ask the last question that I have, I recognized a pattern that you kept bringing up the word accountability. Mm-hmm. So obviously that has a pretty big effect on your life. I'm curious how imperative you think that is for success in whatever you want to do, and how often, how much does someone need accountability in their life, and how often do you and GoBundance, like, is that just quarterly that you keep up on each other, or what is that like for you?
I think, you know, it's funny because there's two different paths, and I don't know if you know my good friend Rhonda Smith. She's here in Portola, and she's an amazing coach who's just blossomed to this wonderful soul. And I would imagine her ideas on all of this and mine and GoBundance are pretty divergent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hers would be a lot more free flow and just kind of intention. And I'd love to get her take, and I'm putting words in her mouth here. Mm-hmm. But GoBundance, and I think of my friend Pat Hyben, who's the strongest accountability partner I've ever seen. I'm in a mastermind with David Osborne and I. And Pat is, if you say you're going to do something and don't do it, he calls you a false prophet of the highest order. And we've had this extremely strong accountability thing where, you know, you better hold up what you're going to say. And so having been a part of that and seeing it help us be very, quote, successful, I think it's helped a lot. And it's also, we've helped each other. We were the three amigos, and David Osborne was abundance, and Pat Hyben's accountability, and I'm adventure. So we kind of cross-merged, and that's why GoBundance is so beautiful, is taking those three things, you know, three strong personalities in three different areas, and throwing in the health and wellness and the generosity and the relationships just rounded the whole thing out beautifully. You know, I just also think there's got to be some room for almost letting nature take its course, if that makes sense, you know, of laying out goals and having people hold you accountable. But sometimes things come up along the way that are kind of like you don't understand them, and your heart's telling you, you know, I need to go this way, and it makes no logical sense. And I've followed my heart then, and that a few times taken the smaller path, if you will, the path that this way probably would have made more money and gained more fame. And it's like, let's go up in the boonies and go play and see how that works out. You know? Yeah. Yes, so, you know, so I guess my cut the crap advice would be, yes, have goals, be accountable to somebody else, but listen to your heart along the way. Okay.
I love that. And I can relate to that so much. So thank you. That was perfect. And yeah. I think a lot of us need to hear that because we feel like we failed if we didn't take that other path. I remember reaching out to you and talking to you, I guess, about a business venture that I wanted to do about a year ago, and ended up not doing that because of other circumstances. And that was kind of my, I can make a lot of money doing that, and maybe I'll really like it. But instead of, I'm really going to love this. regardless,
right.
You know?
Right.
And this with podcasting is that thing that I'm like, I'm going to make no money and I'm psyched because it's so much fun.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And it's just cool that outside circumstances have, you know, that's what they do. And to allow that to happen and flow is really beautiful. So that was a great answer. So thank you. But my last question is there anything you wish we spoke about, something I didn't ask, or if there's something intuitive that you'd like to share with us that just pops up right now?
Well, please join the Dream It, Planet, Live It community on Facebook and grow with us on our community. Reach out to me. You can message me at Tim Rode on Facebook. Always happy to help people along their path. I just want to make sure that we touch on, and I touched on it lightly, but I want to make sure that I drill in the One Life Financial ABCs. And this is a dad talking. And if you remember me talking about, you know, when you're old and gray, you're going to hug yourself or curse yourself for the health and wealth choices you make. And we talked about doing an audit. And I want you to take a financial audit and look at, you know, what's coming in, and that's your offense. Are you playing offense as well as you can? And this is the piece most people miss. B, what's your defense? They say defense wins championships. And if you remember me talking about my income going up dramatically every year and my expenses barely going up, this is the difference. This is why I get to do what I want every freaking day of my life. And what happens the most is as their income goes up, their expenses go right up along with them. You're going to be different. You're going to be wise about monitoring what's going in, going out every month, and make sure there's no leakage. And you're going to let the other person buy the boat, and you're going to be the nice person that buys the gas and buys the beer. And they want you on their boat. That's you. Let them buy the boat. You know, think about this. Live wisely. And then you're going to learn all you can about investing. And you're going to invest wisely so you get somewhere. I'm not saying be frugal. I'm not saying not enjoy your one life fully lived along the path. But be mindful of your future because it will come.
So is C, invest.
Yeah, C is invest. Learn all you can about investing wisely. And unfortunately, if you have a lot of debt to pay off, get Dave Ramsey's debt reduction program to get on how to get out of debt, you know, in a timely manner so you can invest wisely.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Tim, for your time. You've been a pleasure to speak with, and you've brought so many good nuggets to the table, and I really, really appreciate your time. I know that sorry.
Yeah. It's my pleasure, Allie. This is actually the longest podcast I've ever done, and I've enjoyed it. It's been cool. And I just love your, I think the coolest thing about it is your wonderful smile and just your zest for life, because it's just made it a pleasure.
Welp, that is a wrap, folks. Thank you so much again, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, for tuning in again to Well and Why. I hope you walk away feeling spiritually nutritious. Tim, thank you so much for taking the time and energy and patience while we spoke in length and detail about pretty much everything under the sun. And it was so great. You brought so much to my life and continue to do so ever since I was 23 years old when I first went to One Life Fully Lived. I hope everybody here can walk away with something special to take with them. Even if it's just to be motivated by a song, motivated by music. Is there a certain song that motivates you every day? In the morning or before a run or something, certain kind of genre? So I'm wondering how you guys feel about me being my silliest self, because I can get pretty damn weird. Or do you just like prefer when I talk like this and have my meditative state voice that I acquired at yoga teacher training? Right now I'm a little under the weather. I'm not actually sick, thank goodness, because I always tell people I never get sick and then I knock on wood like I am right now. But it's kind of funny because my yoga teacher pointed out that she can't buy a certain kind of down coat because she's allergic. And then I realized I wasn't coming down with strep. I'm also allergic. Solid. But thank goodness for people, right? Human connection. What would we do without it? I have no idea. She's actually a really amazing conversation coming up within the next few weeks. Her name is Carrie. She rocks. But thank you so much again, Tim. And thank you, everybody, for listening and joining me on this journey. Aloha. All right. Ta-ta for now.